Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, Chapter 8, the Narendra Sarovara Jalkeli Leela, Varanga Mahaprabhu and his associates. So they paired off here and there two devotees together to have contests, water splashing contests. It's said that wrestling and water sporting are two Vaishnava sports. So we see Lord Chaitanya in the mood of a devotee. From his earliest of youth, he used to play in the water of the Ganga and have races back and forth across the Ganga. And sometimes Nittai would cheat when they were having a race, and he would grab a crocodile. With the aid of a crocodile, he would swim to the beach, go to the other side and tell Garanga, I won. Because he was cheating. Underneath the water, he was holding onto a crocodile's tail and just gliding across, going like this. Mahaprabhu was doing the breaststroke, whatever they call it, like this. And so this is water pastime. So Nityananda, let's see, it says, Advaita Chaitanya Dunhe Jala Fela Feli Pratame Lagila Dunhe Mahakutuhali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya began by splashing water in great sport on each other. Advaita Hare Nakshane Kshane Va Ishvara Nirgata Nayane Jal Dena Paraspara. While forcefully splashing water in the eyes of each other, sometimes Advaita would be defeated, and the next moment the Lord would be defeated. So apparently there's no rules here in this water splashing. Because generally, if you ever splash water on your friends, when you're splashing, while you're splashing, you make different rules also. Hey, that's not, don't splash in the eyes. Because you splash in the eyes, you can't see the opponent, and they can just move out of the way, and you're splashing over here, and they're standing over here. But they're splashing right in the eyes. And the same thing happened in Radhakund when Krishna was splashing water in Radharani. And Radharani and the gopis ganged up on Krishna and splashed him like torrentially, forcefully, like a tidal wave. And he became blinded. He couldn't even see. And then in that condition, the gopis went up and they took his garland and they took his earrings and they took his necklace out of his top knot, and they started to rough him up a little bit. And then Radharani said, she called off the sakis. No, it's not fair. He's been defeated. He said, I'm defeated. Stop. Because they splashed the out of him. They splashed everything out of Krishna. And all the sakhi mantris were on the parapet and all surrounding the Radhakund. They're all just saying, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. All victory to Radharani in the water splashing contest. So Krishna, he was soundly defeated in that game. And then, although generally he defeats them, but this particular day he defeated them. And then he was boasting one time when Krishna defeated the gopis in water splashing. And then they retorted by saying, you can only be victorious in power games, in games of show of strength or power, like water splashing. But when it comes to some contest that requires intelligence, then you can never win. For example, when we play Pasha Kela, which is a board game, move some pieces around the board, and you throw some dice to get a number, and then you move your pieces. So all the time, this requires a lot of skill and concentration and power to control those dice, the way they roll and what number they give. And always you lose. You lost your flute, you lost Madhav Mangal, and you never can win this game. Then that, because it requires intelligence, and obviously you have Pashu Buddhi. You have the brain of a cow because you're a gwal. they really rub it into Krishna in a bad way. Then the gopis say, and what about the game of language? Because language is a sign of a cultured, intelligent person, his finesse and ability to weave and construct sentences and words and various poetic and romantic and cadence and arrangement and meanings and sounds. And so we have simple games of riddles, and you can never solve the riddles that we create, our Swamini creates. You're always left dumbfounded and blubbering. You can't figure it out. You become a laughing stock of all the suckies. But on this particular occasion, Radharani soundly defeated Krishna in water sports in Radhakund. So here they are, and Vaita. He called Lord Chaitanya down to save the world, and now he's splashing water on him. And they're Naralila, the grandfather and the grandson. And Vaitacharya is 50 years older than Lord Chaitanya, 60 years older. So on one side there's a 25-year-old sannyasi in the Narendra Sarovar, and the other side there's an 80 or 90-year-old acharya pundit splashing water like little children. Advaita, I said that. So Advaita would be defeated, and next moment the Lord would be defeated. Nityananda Gadadhar Sri Puri Gosai Teen Jane Jalad Yuda Karo Hari Nai. Nityananda Prabhu Gadadhar Puri Goswami, and all began water fights with one another. Yet none of them were defeated. So that's interesting, I guess. It's a draw. It's a win-win situation. They were dueling and water dueling and fighting, but no one was defeated. Everybody won. Datte Gupta Jala Yuda Lage Bar Bar Paranande Dui Jane Karena Hungar. Mukunda Datta Mari Gupta had repeated water fights in which they shouted loudly in ecstasy. Paranande Karena Hungar. Dui Saka Vidya Nidhi Sarupa Damodar Asiya Nande Jaladena Paraspar. The two friends, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Sarup Damodar, smiled as they splashed water on each other in ecstasy. So this is Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Lalita Sakhi, Sarup Damodar. So they're having a wonderful time splashing water on each other. Shivas, Sri Ram, Haridas, Rakreshwara, Gangadasa, Gopinatha, Sri Chandrasekhar, Emata Anyonye Dena Sabe Jal, Chaitanya Ulase Sabe Haila Vival. Shivas, Sri Ram, Haridas, Rakreshwara, Gangadas, Gopinath, and Chandrasekhar all became overwhelmed in the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as they splashed water on one another. Sri Govinda Rama Krishna Vijaya Nokai Laksha Laksha Loka Jale Harishe Virai Sejale Vishahi Sanyasi Brahmachari Sabayanande Vase Jala Kridakari Hinase Chaitanya Maya Seistane Asite Karoshakti Nahikeya Napaya Dekite. Hundreds of thousands of people in the water took great pleasure as Balaram Krishna Govinda, the Vijay Vigraha, rode in their boat in the boat festival of Chandan Yatra. Sannyasis, brahmacharis, and householders all sported in the waters of the Narendra Sarovara and floated in waves of lees. It says, Sejali Vishayi Sannyasi Brahmachari. So you have the sannyasis and brahmacharis, and you have the vishayis. So the sannyasis and brahmacharis are distinguished from the vishayis, at least they're supposed to be, because they're supposed to be strictly in control of their senses, vachavegam, manasakotavegam. And the grihastha section has some license for some cruising in the field of sense gratification. as they say. That term was mentioned by Prabhupada. The grihasthas have sort of a license to drive on the road of sense gratification, but they shouldn't use their license. Or let's say they shouldn't become licentious. use their license in the wrong way and become licentious. But we see that Prabhupada actually wanted his grihasthas to live like Goswamis. He wrote a letter to Gurudas when he was a temple president in Vrindavan in 1975 or so, maybe 76. And he said, those grihasthas, whatever grihasthas are staying in Vrindavan, they should live like the six Goswamis. Nidrahara vihara kadi vijato chatyanta jinochayo. Vrindavan is a place of bhajan. It's not a place of varna or ashram. It's a place of bhajan, nirjan bhajan. And bhajan is transcendental. Whether one is married or unmarried or single, or any particular ashram, and living in Vrindavan means Vrindavan bhajan. Prabhupada wrote one prayer called Vrindavan Viraha Bhajan, I think it's called. Vrindavan Viraha Bhajan. And he talked about his family. They were just a list of names. They didn't mean anything anymore. Because once one enters the land of Vrindavan, this is the land of no return. This is the land of no return. This is Mukti Dham. This is a place of liberation. Mathurapuri and Banaras and Ayodhya and Dwarka and Haridwar and Vishnukanchi, several places around India are extraordinary locations that the power of God is there in the place itself. God can liberate one from birth and death. And God's holy Dham can liberate one from birth and death. This is the power of the holy Dham. So when one enters here, he's entering the path of immortality. He can get liberated here easily. Hina se chaitanya maya se stane asite. I read that actually. The influence of Lord Chaitanya was such that less fortunate persons could neither see nor enter that place. So he had to have that stan, that Chaitanya Yogamaya stan, where that beautiful lila was going on with the Lord and his devotees, Narendra Sarovara. One requires adhikar to enter the lila, or Yogamaya to grant entrance. Yogamaya Purnamasi. She's the entrance giver to the Leela. That's why in the Gaudiya Sampradaya there's worship of Yogamaya and Purnamasi and meditating on Yogapit. Because without that, karo shakti nahi kena na paya dekhite. On one's own, one does not have the shakti, the jiva shakti, the jiva. Is tatasta shakti. That is not enough power. Because the jiva's shakti is the shakti of his minute nature, which is tatasta. He's tatasta shakti. There's some maya, mahamaya there and yogamaya there. Mostly, he can't enter the leelas of Krishna unless yogamaya becomes predominant and saturates his being. And then he can see what is Naham Prakashya Sarvasya Loko Yogamaya Samamrita. That Prakash, Leela, Prakash, the Leela will not be Prakash as long as we're in Mahamaya. We have to be in Yogamaya. So Yogamaya has to descend and bathe our soul and take us there by the hand. Purnamasi is a personality. She takes one by the hand into the Leela. So no one that was less fortunate, that wasn't favored. Chaitanya Maya se stane asite. Chaitanya Maya means Yoga Maya. The spiritual energy, the internal potency of the Lord must make the arrangements for that divine Leela with the Lord, that connection with the Lord and that spiritual energy, that Yoga Maya means that Maya, that energy that's made of transcendental potency, the Sandini, Savit, Ladini potency, Yoga Maya. Alpa Bhagye Sri Chaitanya Goshti Nahipai, Kevala Bhaktira Vasha Chaitanya Gosai. Those who are less fortunate cannot be counted among the associates of Lord Chaitanya, who is controlled only by devotion. Alpa Bhagye, Kevala Bhakti, Vasha Chaitanya. Say Prema Vashibhut. God is controlled. Vasha. Vasha means controlled. Vasha. Kevala Bhakti Vasha. Only the pure devotion, not by Bhagya. Alpa Bhagya. Bhagya means piety, good deeds, Sukriti. Only that cannot control the Lord. There's so many verses about that in the purport. Bhaktivina Kevala Vidyaya Tapasyai Kichu Nahi Hai Savi Dukkha Matrapai. Without bhakti, vina, bhakti, vina, then kevala, without kevala bhakti, then vidya, tapa, so much knowledge, so much austerity, but without kevala bhakti, zero. Kichu nahi hai, has no value. Dukkha matrapai, they only bring misery. So this is, and there's some verses to describe this from 11th canto Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita, chapter 14, verse 20 and 21. Krishna's telling, he's saying that I cannot be controlled by anything but pure bhakti. Even those that engage in mystic yoga and Sankhya philosophy, punya, karma, shastra, swadhyaya, studying the Vedas, tapasya or tyag, I can't attract me. Only by unalloyed devotion with faith can one obtain me. Of course, this theme is there everywhere. Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mama Vijananti, Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvata. It's only by bhakti and faith that Krishna can be attracted and attracted to come to one and to reveal himself to one. I am naturally dear to devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in pure bhakti, even dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Generally, it's told in the Vedas that birth can only be purified by rebirth. If you're born as a Shudra, then you have to do so many, follow the Smriti Shastras and do so many activities according to your Varna, and then you'll get purified. Next life, you'll be a Vaishya. Be elevated, promoted. The only way to purify the deficiencies or doshas of your birth is to live it out and then to take rebirth and get a better chance next time. But as it's saying here, that if someone takes the bhakti, even in this life, they can nullify the contamination of birth. And it's even said that one may be a dog eater, but by pure, becomes a pure devotee, he's eligible to engage in Vedic sacrifices and perform fire yogas with all the qualification of a Brahmin by birth, was born a Brahmin, raised a Brahmin. So this is the exaltation of devotion that it has such transformational powers to turn a dog eater into a Brahmin in terms of purity of mind and purity of desire and action. But Jiva Goswami says in commenting on this verse that although this is true that the Vaishnava becomes eligible to perform homa or Vedic sacrifice and yajna, he generally doesn't do it so he won't to not upset the social harmony. The basic expectations and understandings that the normal masses of people have is that Brahmins are eligible to perform yajnas and Shudras aren't. Okay, they may accept that this Shudra became a Vaishnava and he's worshipping Ram or Vishnu or Krishna, but that he's eligible and purified and qualified to actually perform Vedic yajnas and pujas, they can't accept that, although the Shastras say that. And it's a fact. They don't have the faith in the Shastras, although they're Brahmins, they're somewhat Gnostic in a little bit sense. They don't have full faith in some of these rather bewildering points of the Shastras. Because they don't understand the unlimited nature and power of bhakti. Versus their bhakti bhajan kintu. Karmani nirlahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. That Brahma says that karma gets destroyed. Not only prarabdha karma, which we're suffering from in this life, eating the fruits of the good and bad karma, but even aparabdha karma, waiting to fructify. And then the bijam and kutam, proclivities and seed of karma. All of that can be eliminated by Shuddha Bhakti in one life. Someone is born with so much dosh, kaler doshan and hey rajan, astiyeka mahagunan, Kali Yuga, janmana jayate shudra, Kali Yuga made janmana jayate shudra. Everyone's by birth is practically shudra. So kaler doshan and hey rajan, anyone born in Kali Yuga is full of dosh, difficulties, faults, deficiencies, weakness, laziness, foolishness, tendency for contamination and low behavior, no attachment or natural inclination to serve or worship God. But if Bhakti Devi enters into one's heart and graces one's life, then amazing, astonishing transformations can happen. A gross, heartless, merciless hunter can be turned into the most tolerant, respectful and humble devotee of the Lord. So much advance in consciousness and so much compassion will manifest as a result of the effulgence of bhakti in one's heart. One will manifest and feel so compassionate that he won't even want to harm an ant. And he's about to lie on the ground to pay his respectful dandavats to Parvat Muni and Narada Muni, his guru. He'll look twice and see, oh, there's ants on the ground in front of me where I am about to lie down. So then he'll take his chatter and very gently sweep the ground to remove the ants so he can lie on the ground without disturbing the life progress of any ant. This is amazing for someone who has previously half-killing animals, shooting them in such a way that a hunter knows how to kill an animal with one arrow if he hits in the right spot. And almost like a quote-unquote painless death. But then there's other ways where you can immobilize a living entity and they can't really run away, so you have your prey. You've caught your prey, they can't run away. But you immobilize them and they can't walk because you shot them in the shoulder blade or the ankle or whatever. And then they just roll and writhe and writhe on the forest floor until they die. And so Mrigari, of course Mriga means animal and Ari means the killer. It's called Mrigari the hunter, but Mrigari means hunter. The word Mriga, Ari, enemy of animals. So the hunter, we'll just say the story of Narada and the hunter. So the hunter was enjoying, that's how hard his heart was. And he became so soft-hearted by bhakti. Practically, he must have been extremely advanced. Such a soft heart he had. Because you see, as you go, I mean, he had developed incredible compassion and understanding of life. They wouldn't even want to harm an ant from one. Such a cruel consciousness, is such a broad-minded, sensitive consciousness, by the touch of bhakti, such power of transformation. This is the proof here. So he's saying that knowledge and austerity have no value without kevala bhakti. Sakshate dekaha ese nilachale eteke chaitanya sankirtana kutuhale. One can realize the superiority of devotional service by the blissful sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Nilachala. Sakshat Deki Nilachala. By seeing directly a Nilachala, eyewitness accounts, bhakti in action, the bhakti that was displayed. Eteke Chaitanya Sankirtan. Just see that what was manifested there. Interesting, I'd like to see what this translation says here. sakshate dekaha ese nilanchana. What was manifested and seen, what was seen, witnessed by everyone in Nilachala during Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan festival, that Kutuhule, that great happy blissful festival. So what was seen there, and this is kind of writing into it, that one could see, and one did see, and we saw such an exchange of love, friendship, playfulness, and respect and honor, many, many types of feelings and bhavas and behaviors were exchanged one to the other as the two parties, Lord Chaitanya and the Puri Arisa devotees, greeted the Bengal devotees and the East Bengal, all coming to Nilachala at the meeting place of Narendra Sarovara. And then they of course enjoyed and they met, and they're crying and embracing each other, just to recall all the things we read about. So that's what bhakti is all about, expressions of love. And love expresses itself in so many different ways, through respect, through honor, through play. They were lovingly playing and lovingly offering dandavats and lovingly chanting and lovingly roaring the names of God and happy to see each other, extremely happy. All this was the outpouring and expressions through their behavior, their loving sentiments. So one can realize the superior of bhakti by observing, just witnessing the blissful Sankirtan pastimes. Because it's more than just a musical performance or a group of... Sankirtan means a group of devotees with musical instruments glorifying the names of the Lord in congregation. Okay, it's a musical performance. How is this establishing the superiority of bhakti, which is the translation here? Those with insufficient piety and good fortune are ineligible to enter the company of the followers of Sri Chaitanya. Gauranga is only captivated by unalloyed devotion, and without bhakti, nothing of any value is achieved. Material education, learning, penances, and austerity inevitably lead only to more suffering. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya performed his Sankirtan pastimes with the greatest divine pleasure, openly before the eyes of everyone in Nilachala, but not all could realize their transcendental nature. Many sannyasis respected as Mahajans, great souls, had not the good fortune to recognize the Lord. I don't think we got there. That's next. So here this verse is being presented in this way. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya performed a Sankirtan with the greatest divine pleasure. Chaitanya Sankirtan Kutuhale. Openly before the eyes of everyone in Nilachala, but not all could realize their transcendental nature. So that's also more to the point. Sakshate Dekha Nilachala. Everyone in Nilachala directly saw it. That's what that's translation. But not everyone that saw could realize. That's the feature of reality in general. Everyone sees the same reality, but how many realize what it means? We all see the same phenomenon. We wrote in that one sweet note, most people in the world ask who, what, when, and where. But very rarely does anyone ask the question why. Why this happened? Or why these people are together? Or why this person came to me? Or why this... Who did it? Where it happened? What happened? When it happened? This is about the extent of the inquiry. So that we don't really perceive what's in front of our eyes, because its perception is much deeper than what you can see, because the eyes are fallible and limited. So shastras extend the eyes, extend the vision. Shastras extend the vision to enable us to see what's beyond our minds. Shastras extend our vision so we can see what lies beyond our minds and our capacity to think. Because we can only think so far, and then we run out of thoughts. And then even our greatest thinking can't reach the toenails of God. And so many verses are there like that. So they saw, they didn't see, Krishna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. How many realized who he was? Not many. Most thought he was, had mixed ideas about him, but very few thought he was Bhagavan, God. Maybe Prabhupada said once 200 people or something. 200 Pandavas. A few hundred Pandavas had some idea, clear idea, that our Krishna, our cousin, our relative, our nephew, whatever, he's actually God, Bhagavan. But most everyone else thought he's some mundane, ordinary person like them, fighting on, and not even fighting, he was driving the chariot. Shudra's work. There was some question as to what Krishna's varna was. Is he a kshatriya or is he a coward or a vaishya? It's a mysterious personality. He's born of Vasudeva, who's a king, a kshatriya, with a huge palace and army and vast estates in Mathura district. And Devaki Rani, his queen, that's the mother and father of Krishna. People say that in Hastinapur. But then he mysteriously, before he could enjoy all that royal opulence, he went off to the village of the cowherds. And he was adopted by Yashoda and Nanda, lived as a foster child there. And he renounced all that opulence of Kshatriya royalty and pomp to live with no shoes, have no shoes and sleep on the ground with his head on the not on a pillow stuffed with fragrant flowers, but you know, his head was resting on a trunk of a tree, the root of a tree that came out of the earth, or on the thigh of a coward boy, or sometimes he would rest on with his head against the belly of a cow or a calf. Coward boys, they sleep with their calves. They love their calves. He's Vatsa Gopal, Gopal and the Vatsas. So when he got to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, is he a Vaishya, a Gwal, a cowherd? Is he a prince? Is he a king's son? Is he royalty? And that, then, let's see what he's doing. He's driving the chariot? This is a Shudra's engagement. This is less than, this is certainly not Kshatriya. It's not Vaishya, Gwal. He's the driver. And sitting down on the yoke of the chariot, controlling the whole thing, and all the mud and flying off the hoofs of the horses in his face, and it's not a very glorious service. It's not like the painting on the cover. The driver doesn't stand up there. The driver is invisible. He's down lower, can't be seen. It's just Arjuna's commanding in a different kind of way. With body signals, he's communicating to Krishna how to move the chariot. And we see in the Bhagavad Gita painting, Krishna standing with the reins, like, it's very nice, respectful painting, beautiful painting, but the actual one, when it got started, there he wasn't, there was no question of that. The reins, the man holding the reins and controlling the horses is not seen, only the bowman is seen. And he has this wall like this, and he's just, ton, 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 ton. As the chariot driver's in front of him, he'll shoot the chariot driver. You know, you need a clear, you have to have a clear vision here. Get down. Get down. So he's permanently out of sight. So when they say, oftentimes when you read the Mahabharata about the gruesome battle of the Kurukshetra war, they say that with 3 arrows Krishna broke the flag on his chariot, and 2 arrows he killed the horses. Then when it says he killed the charioteer, that's a significant thing, because once you kill a charioteer, then the cart, there's no one to drive, there's no driver. So if you're sitting in the back seat and somebody kills your chauffeur, then what happens to your car? It's probably fly off the road somewhere. So the chariot, just as soon as there's charioteer, the horses are shot and the charioteer is shot, then you're stuck. You better run fast or be a good fighter without the bow and arrow. So that's a little departure from the Jalkeli Leela, of course. But it's all Krishna's Leela going in different directions. Once Prabhupada was saying that the Sahajiyas, they only want to hear Ras Leela. There's only one Krishna, he's Leela, Krishna's Leela Purushottam, but he only has one Leela, Ras Leela, Anikunja Leela, that's it, Vas. And this Leela with the cows, there's no such Leela with the cows and the coward boys. And Leela Kurukshetra, this is some other Krishna. Of course, we also agree with that, expanded form, but this is not Leela, this is Dharma, this is also Leela. This is Yudhya Leela, this fighting. Krishna didn't, he went there, he wanted to go there, he wanted to take part. So that's his Leela. Prabhupada said, what is there? It's also full of sweetness, all full of ras. And that might be a lot of Vira ras and Vivatsa ras and Chamatkar and Adbhuta ras and all these type of, you know, Gona rasas are in exaltation there. So let's go on. So the Jeta Mahajan Nam Sanyasi Sakal Tehite O Bhagya Karo Nahila Viral. All the so-called Mahajans and Sannyasis who were in Jagannath Puri were unable to see the pastimes of Lord Gauranga. As such, they were less fortunate. Aro Bale Chaitanya Viranta Pattachari Ki Karyeva Karina Kirtana Hudahudi. These Mahajans and Sannyasis would say, why did Chaitanya leave the study of Vedanta to make a big show of kirtan? He should be home in the library of the ashram studying Vedanta. Tat tvam asi. Let me see. What does this mean? Tat, that. Tvam, you. Tat tvam asi. What does this mean? So these Mahajans and Sannyasis, they were saying, why is Lord Chaitanya engaged in kirtan? He should go home and study Vedanta. But Vedanta, the end of Vedanta is prema, and the prema is full of leela. So Lord Chaitanya would prefer to be in Narendra Sarovar, relishing his Jalkeli Leela with Advaita and all of his bhaktas, laughing and enjoying. And then they went on to preach about the, doesn't he know? These are the Mahajans and Sannyasis from the distance of lack of eligibility to enter the Leela. They could not enter the Leela, they could not take part in the Jalkeli, nor could they understand it. Although they were right there at Narendra Sarovar, Lord Jagannath's boat festival, and Mahaprabhu was in the water splashing with all his associates. Then they turned to each other and said, listen, Sarva de pranaya pranayama ese yati dharam nachibe kandibe eki sanyasirakaram. The Mahajan Sannyasis who were ineligible to enter Gaur Leela, they said, it's the duty of a sannyasi to always practice pranayama. But this sannyasi is dancing and crying instead. Is this the business of a sannyasi? So that's the opinion of those non-water splashers. Foolish people, the purport says, foolish proud people consider dancing and singing an ecstatic love for Krishna as equal to dancing and singing based on material enjoyment. That is the foolishness of those who profess to be synthesizers of matter and spirit. So If someone is involved with the synthesis of matter and spirit, he's a fool. Unless when he synthesizes matter and spirit, if he actually finds a synthesis, then that spirit will make that matter dance in bliss. And this is what's going on. But not all of those sannyasis are so foolish. Tahaite ye sava uttam nyasigan tanra bodhi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahajan. The uttam nyasis, the better sannyasis, more highly evolved and realized, they would say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya is a Mahajan. Keha bali gyani keha bali bhara bhakta. Prasham sena save keha na janena tattva. Some persons would call Gauranga a gyani. Some persons would call him a great devotee. And this way they would praise him without knowing his real identity. So, people have different ideas about what they see. Everyone's looking at the same thing and everyone has a different idea. Atmanam manyate jagat. It's true with the Lord and it's true with all reality. Whatever we see is not what is. Whatever we see is not what is. Oh, I saw. I heard. So I know. I saw, I heard, I know. Like Julius Caesar, Veni, Vedi, Vici. Veni, Vedi, Vici. I came, Veni, Vedi. I saw, Vici, I conquered. Veni, Vedi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. I saw, I thought, I misjudged. This is our three-way operating. I saw, I thought, I misjudged. I saw something of reality, a person, a thing, a phenomenon. And I thought about it, contemplated, and I made a conclusion, and it was wrong. So I was misjudged. So no one's perfect except Krishna. So there have, so meanwhile, back to the Vaishnavas, these are some of the unfortunate bystanders who were, could not participate in the water sports. So hopefully we will not be lined up with them, and we will not think of Lord Chaitanya from the viewpoint of Gyan or misread his identity and think that he should be studying Vedanta. And we will be accepted in the inner circle of Lord Chaitanya's surrendered devotees who understand his identity and fully appreciate his presentation of his Madhurya Audharya Leela. Emata jala krida range kutuhale karena ishvara sange vaishnava sakale. In this way, all the Vaishnavas enjoyed sporting in the water with Gauranga. Ishvara sange vaishnava sakale. Jal Krita Ranga. They were delighting in the playing in the water. Actually, devotees always delight. They always, everything is Krita. Now, there's Sankirtan Krita, there's Jal Krita, Bhogjan Krita, Rasa Krita. We say Rasa Krita means Ras Leela. Enjoying the Ras, playing, sporting, delighting. Krita. Purva Yena Jala Krita Haila Yamunai. Say Sava Bhakta Lai Sri Chaitanya Rai. Lord Chaitanya and his associates enjoyed the same water sports in the Narendra Sarovara that they had previously enjoyed in the Yamuna. So this is the indication of Gaur Leela reaching out to Krishna Leela, Gaur Leela becoming Krishna Leela, Krishna Leela becoming Gaur Leela. They're in Gaur Leela, the Parikaras of Gauranga. Gauranga's advent, or manifestation is advent, in his place of pastimes of Jagannath Puri. And they're all in Dasya Rati with Lord Chaitanya, or all rasas actually. different modes of love, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhur, and the Gaura Leela, and their Brahman forms. But then they're also Sakis and Mandris, and they have female forms in Krishna Leela, and they have all these same rasas there of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, the four rasas of Braj. So they're in Gaura Leela and they're thinking of Krishna Leela. And in Krishna Leela, sometimes Gaura Leela manifests. Radharani leaves the rasa dance. Krishna's searching for her. He can't find her anywhere, and he goes into a kunja, Imli Kunj, underneath a tamarind tree. And he lies there at the root of that tree. Nana ratnani bada mula vita pa shayukta brindavane. And he lies there at the root of that tree, dreaming about Radharani and remembering her form. So much mood of separation, longing for her association, hankering to see her again, crying and pining in her separation, and just lost in his own samadhi, meditating on Radharani's beauty and sweetness and charm and elegance. And all of a sudden his whole body turns golden. Gaura Leela in the middle of Krishna Leela. And the Sakis are searching everywhere. Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. And then they come, wandered up past Yamuna Pulin and Keshi Ghat. Then they went by Govinda Ghat. And they went further past Sringar Ghat. Then they went to Imli Tala. And they found this demigod, that crashed in this Pushma Viman and landed in this kunja, size of Yamuna, is resting peacefully underneath this tree. But then this golden form, some exalted demigod, with so much radiance coming from his body. And as the gopis went closer, they were thinking, who is this? Person looks so golden, looks like Shyam. And then when they got closer, then they heard some very faint vibration coming from the mouth of this golden deva, this golden personality, or some faint sound coming from his lips, which were barely moving. And they were saying, Radha, Radha, Radha. And then Radharani came, and Lalita said, listen, this deva is chanting your name. There's some demigod. And Radharani got close and heard her name and said, no one can chant my name like that but Shyamasundar. And then when Krishna heard the name Shyamasundar, then he became again black, monsoon-like. So then Radharani was amazed, and she said, what is this? How you became me? You're my color. Oh, you don't know, actually, there's Gaura Leela. There's a very nice Leela. And there's also Swapna Vilas Amritam, where Radharani dreams of, later maybe she dreams of some rasa dance, but they're all men there, and they're dancing, and instead of kadamba trees on the bank of the Yamuna, there's all palm trees swaying in the wind, and the dark waters of the Yamuna, which they usually dance beside in the Maharas dance, are actually whitish green in color. And instead of all beautiful gopis, it's all beautiful Brahmins, and they're playing instruments and singing. And she sees this golden, beautiful person dancing, and well, she doesn't see herself there. She says, where am I? The Vishnu tells this dream that Radharani had. And she woke up and she asked Krishna, what is this? I saw this dream. Everyone was gathered on the bank of a river, very much like the Yamuna. But there weren't kadamba trees there. There were palm trees, coconut trees, date palms, and betel nut trees. And there weren't all ladies and sakis playing pakawaj and esaraj and flutes and veenas. They're all men there, young men and boys, and they're playing mridangas and kartals like we also play. And they were dancing beautifully in Ras, in the Ras Mandal. And there was one golden youth there of my dreams, I can't imagine, so beautiful, I'd never seen before. And dancing in the middle of all those young men dancing under the moonlight on the banks of that river. I thought, is this Sharad Purnima? And is this is Krishna dancing? But they're all men, and where am I? Where was I when that was going on? Was that golden youth of my dreams? Was that a projection of me? Was it actually me? Or if that was me, then where were you? I didn't see you, my Lord Shyam. Or if that was you in some form like that, then where was I? So Radharani was bewildered and kind of perplexed about this dream. What does it mean? Oh, Guruji, I had this dream last night. That this thing, that thing. What does it mean? And Prabhupada, when I have one paper I think I have in that notes of important instructions about Prabhupada's comments on dreams. He said, dreams are, we should, don't pay much importance to dreams. Prabhupada said, don't pay much importance to dreams. And then, true to his spirit, Prabhupada will often say, the dreams of the spiritual master are very important. If you look at, if you want to do a search, a folio search on Prabhupada speaking about dreams, you'll see, he says, dreams are not very important. They're just some, you see one thing, you see some gold, and you see a mountain, and you dream of a golden mountain. It's meaningless, it's insignificant. So he says that. Then another place, Prabhupada says, oh, a dream of the spiritual master is very significant, very important. I must think deeply about this. So Prabhupada would, because it's, there's many answers, and dreams can be significant. They may be foolish imagination, imaginative ecstasies or wishes. So then all of it has to be confirmed with Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. Whatever dream we may have, it should be. As I often told the story of one gentleman in Delhi, I was out of station for some months, and I came back after a few months to Delhi preaching. And he said, oh, I had so many dreams of you this summer. You were instructing me. And I said, all summer I've been trying to follow those instructions. I said, what were those instructions? And you said it was okay to chant four rounds a day, and I don't have to chant 16. It's all, it's all right. We don't have to be vegetarian. And, we should follow one regulative principle is enough. I said, Acha, so you've been trying to follow those dream shiksha, swapna shiksha, dream instruction. Yeah, and it's really helping me a lot, you know. And I said, listen, I'm here, right? You can see, you can see me. I'm right. You can see me and touch me. And now listen. Now you see, do you believe I'm real? Am I real? Am I real or am I a dream? Are your dreams real and I'm a dream, or am I? Your dreams are unreal and I'm real. So believe it. You can call some witnesses. I'm here. I'm really here. I'm not a dream. And I'm telling you, you should follow the four regular principles. You should chant 16 rounds minimum every day. He said, oh really? It's like that? I said, yeah. Dreams are not that significant. So Lord Chaitanya is enjoying his water pastimes. Ye prasada pahilena janavi jamuna narendra jalero haila se bhagya simha. The same mercy attained by the Ganga and the Yamuna was now attained by Narendra Sarovara. So obviously that means the mercy of being the place of Krishna's pastimes and Gaura Leela. The Ganga, of course, is the place of his leelas, with all his devotees, and Ganga herself takes part and feels thrilling ecstasy by touching the body of the Lord and assisting and serving in his Jalkeli Leelas in Mayapur, Navadvip. And Jamunaji, she, from the very birth of Krishna, she was, her waters were being used for the Abhishek of Krishna from his very birth. Within 20 minutes of Krishna's birth, Yamuna was offering her Abhishek to Krishna. And from that day forward and every day afterwards, Yamuna water was bought for Krishna's bath. In fact, we see that when Krishna appeared in this world, and Krishna appeared, then Vasudev carried him across the water to Gokul. At that time, the waters of the Yamuna Devi, she of course is the personality, Yamuna Devi, and she was extremely blissful that the Lord was crossing over the Yamuna in a basket on the head of Vasudev. So in that ulas, or that enjoyment of having Krishna walking across, then she rose up with her hands over waves and she touched Krishna's feet as an abhishek, bathing his form. And from that day forward, every day Krishna would be bathed with Yamuna water. The gopis, Yamuna used to flow from Nandagram, through Gokul, and then when Krishna moved to Nandagram, gopis would always go to the Yamuna and collect water and water pots, and carry the water pots all the way up to Nandagam, to the top of the hill, for Yashoda Ma to bathe Krishna in Yamuna Jal. So from the very time of Krishna's birth, he's been bathing in Yamuna. And there's an arrangement with the Rajasthan government that the Radha Govinda temple in Jayapur, the main temple there is Radha Govindaji. Of course, Govindaji was originally in Vrindavan. He manifested in Vrindavan. And the deity moved to Jayapur to be under the safe protection of Jai Singh, protecting from the Mughal invaders that were desecrating the temples, as you may know, in North India. So there was a very powerful kingdom there. Even to this day, there's a bus, at least from the Vrindavan bus station, a Rajasthan government bus. And in the front of that box, there's in front, behind the driver, invisible to the passengers, is a metal box with a pyramid on the top of it, so no one can sit on it, a triangle pyramid. And I asked the driver when I went to Jaipur by that bus, sometimes I went, I said, "What is in that box?" He said, "This is Jamuna Jal. Every day I bring Jamuna Jal from Vrindavan to Jaipur for the bath of Radha Govinda." So from 5,000 years ago all the way to the present day, Krishna is still bathing in the Yamuna water. This is the speciality. So here we're describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela in Jagannath Puri, and he's having Jalkeli Leela with all his Brahmin friends, all the pandits, Gangadas Pandit, Jagadish Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit. All of his name is Mishra. His birth name is Vishrambara Mishra. His nickname was Nimai Pandit, because at the age of 7 years old, he defeated East India's most powerful Sanskrit pundit, who knew the six philosophies of India, and he also knew Vyakaran and Chandas and Kavi and Naya, and so many subjects he knew. He was a great pundit. His name was Keshava Kashmiri. He's from Kashmir. Keshava Kashmiri, it's in the history, you can read history also, 500 years ago. And he came with a large procession from Kashmir to Navadvip, which is West Bengal, 4 hours north of Calcutta. And he heard that there was a boy scholar there, a genius, extremely precocious son of Jagannath Mishra. His name was Vishwambar, nicknamed Nimaya. And he wanted to meet this pundit. So he came there with a huge procession of elephants and horses and chariots and a whole entourage of Brahmins, and because he was a king of knowledge. He was the Digvijay pundit. He had conquered all the directions. He was victorious over all the pundits and learned men of all directions of India, at least northeast India. He didn't really go down to the south, Kerala and Karnataka, but all north, the northeast. So he went to Navadvip, to Mayapur, which is the village of Nimai Pandit, and he debated with him. And Nimai said, "Oh Panditji, you're very intelligent and most respectful senior to me. Can you please recite some verses in glorification of Ganga Mata, Ganga Devi, the Ganga?" And he's on the spot, he composed 100 verses, speaking just one by one by one, perfectly composed verses. And Nimai Pandit was listening very peacefully, quietly. attentively, with full concentration and focus. And then he said, when he finished, concluded the 100 verses, the Digvijaya Pandit said, "What do you think?" "Very good, amazing, astounding, chamatkar, adbhut. How could you do this? 100 verses, charpada, four lines each verse, charpada, shlok, 100, four, basically 400 padas, 400 lines, 100 verses. And then he said, "What do you think?" Panditji, in verse 67, Nimai Pandit started to point out defects in the Sanskrit, in the grammar, in the endings, in the tense endings, and the meaning of the verse. And he said, in verse 71, and the Pandit was amazed. He said, "How is it possible?" He could find a minute, he had total recall of 100 verses. And then he found out the defects and flaws and the dosh, the kavya dosh in the Sanskrit. And then he defeated him. He actually defeated the Nimai Pandit. And the scholar was embarrassed. And he went home and he went into deep meditation that night on his Ishtadev, Saraswati. He's a devout worshipper of Saraswati. He did Saraswati Purushcharan. Purushcharan is an intense tapasya and penance to get the darshan of one's desired Ishtadev. Hanuman Purushcharan, or Durga Purushcharan, or Gopal, different Purushcharan. It's a type of rigorous, you feed Brahmins every day, Brahmin Dhan with food for so many days, you chant so many lakhs of Gopal mantra, many things you do like this, many niyamas, and then you may get this tapabalam. So he prayed, "Oh my Ishtadevi, oh Saraswati, what has happened? What happened? Who is this?" Then she appeared in a dream, gave spurti, vision, almost like darshan. "You don't know. Listen, Panditji, this boy, Nimai Pandit, he is my lord. He is actually Bhagavan. I worship him. He is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matal sarvam pravartate. He's the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Any power of vidya shakti I have, power of vidya shakti, it comes from him. Parasya shaktir vividaya shriyate. This Krishna, that Nimai Pandit is that Bhagavan. He is that Krishna, the same Krishna has come 500 years ago. So you can never defeat him. You should surrender to him. Don't feel bad that you were defeated by God. You may defeat every mortal, but if God defeats you, that's not bad. I defeated every mortal, every man on this planet, but God defeated me." All right. He's a chutta. He's a jita. So this is Nimai. So we were just discussing his leelas in Jagannath Puri. And when he was bathing in the Narendra Sarovara, which is a large lake there, man-made lake for the pastimes of Jagannath, Chandan Yatra, in the evening time they have Nokabihar, boating pastimes there. So the Lord and all his parishads, they're bathing there and splashing water and chanting and sankirtan and enjoying they're playing. It says, "Jal krida ranga kutuhale, jal krida range." They was enjoying bliss, delighting in splashing water, like young children. But they're grown-ups, they're pundits, they're married, they have children and grandchildren. They're acharyas and gurus. But in the association of the Lord, in the holy dham, for the pleasure of the Lord, for lila. Lila means pleasure. Lila means playing. Lila means play. Lila means pleasure. Lila means love. Lila. So they're enjoying all these things. So we'll continue. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai.